I'm Neil Stavem. Here's a highlight from Connecting Faith. You can find more on this topic at the Connecting Faith show page at myfaithradio.com. And your support makes it possible. Thank you.
Listener wanted to know, you know, can we talk about Bible translations? For example, the Red Sea and, you know, the apple aren't specifically named in the Hebrew Bible. So help us understand, I guess, more about translations, words that we, or maybe common phrases that we think about. So,
are you talking about the apple in the garden,
yeah,
you mean?
Right.
Yeah,
yes,
that's just folklore. I mean, people made that into an apple, and the Minnesota Apple Growers Association doesn't like it one bit because people won't eat apples that way.
So, it just says fruit.
It says fruit.
Okay. Yeah.
And so we just can't go with that. Translation is a tricky thing sometimes when you don't have a cultural equivalent to it. Bible translators around the world have run into these questions where, for example, they might be in a region of the world where they don't have sheep. And so how do you translate the expression that Jesus is the Lamb of God? It just wouldn't make any sense to the people. And so they have to come up with some kind of a cultural equivalent for that and still remain true to the teaching of the Scriptures. And sometimes they get a little inventive with those types of things. So I think the thing to keep in mind, Neil, with translations is translations try to do two things. They try to be as accurate as possible to the Greek and Hebrew text of the Bible, and they also try to express it in the most contemporary language of the day. So the meaning is up to date with the modern usage of language. If you step back for a minute, you realize that language is fluid. It's always changing and evolving. I mean, think about it for a minute. 15 years ago, I said to you, hey, well, you know, after the show, Neil, I need to text you some information. And it's like, 15 years ago, what? What are you talking about? Text me. We use language differently. Words start to be used or their meaning changes. And so we have to keep translations as much as possible in the current language of the day. So it's understandable. That's what we want people to benefit from. They can understand what's being said.
Yeah, well, in the Red Sea, Reed Sea debate and things like that. So there's always going to be some questions about how to transmit this information into our language and our context. Yeah, I had a professor once who was telling a story about a Bible translation project that he had been on in exactly one of those cultures that you were talking about where they didn't have sheep, but they did have pigs. And of course, that's a particularly tricky one because the pig is an unclean animal according to the Jewish law. So you don't want to just simply substitute pig for sheep in there and make Jesus the good pig herder and things like that, and separate the pigs from the, I don't know what you'd separate them, goats, maybe.
So the bunnies or something.
Yeah, there's always going to have to be some judgment by interpreters and translators.
That being said, though, Neil, we need to reassure our listeners that Bible translations we have today in English are just superbly accurate. There is so much work that's gone into them. I would challenge some of our listeners to just read the first couple pages in their Bible where it talks about the editors and the committees and everything that goes into these translations. It's dozens and dozens of scholars that collaborate, and they have review boards and the whole business. So these things are just incredible gifts to the church in the 21st century.
Thanks for listening. Your support makes this audio stream possible. You can help at myfaithradio.com.